Well, hey everybody, I'm Josh Erickson and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm glad you're with us today for this online service. So immigration is going to be a hot topic for many people, and that's going to happen over the next weeks and months and maybe a few years. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's a topic and a reality that we need to be prepared to deal with, and I want to help you with that through our time together today. So maybe you've had this experience where you're having a conversation with a friend or a coworker or a family member, and you're talking at a general level about a sensitive subject. Maybe it's immigration or the related matters of asylum seekers and also refugees. And you're having a general conversation about it, and you feel like there's some agreement around this. And then you keep talking, and you then find maybe you're still in agreement as you get into some finer details about the conversation. But then eventually you get to a point where you've all of a sudden are disagreeing with the person about the sensitive subject. And you're not sure why that happened. Well, this is a pretty common experience that many of us have when it comes to dealing with the sensitive subject about hospitality and extending a radical hospitality in our lives. I mean, I know we want to try to welcome people. I know we want to help people when we can. But when we get to that subject of how do we help people that are from other places around the world that are coming to where we live, it gets really complicated when we get to the particulars about it. Now, this is not just something that we experience, but it's something also that Jesus went through as well. And it comes amazingly around a similar subject and a similar experience around how do we help people who are in need? How do we welcome them in a radical way? And I want to share with you a story from the Gospel of Luke that it shows us exactly how Jesus handled it and how he wants us to handle it. And unfortunately, a good example of how we don't want to respond to some of these kinds of things. So very early in Jesus' ministry, he was going about his work and he had been becoming a little famous as it was in the place where he lived. And then he goes to his hometown on the Sabbath and he goes to gather with the people for worship in their synagogue. And apparently it was Jesus' turn to be a part of leading the service that day. So in this particular moment, he pulls out the scroll that would have been the book of Isaiah as we think about it. And he starts to read from it. He reads this beautiful passage about what it means for the Messiah to come. And it says that the Messiah comes to proclaim the good news. And everybody's like, oh, that's amazing, right? Then he goes on to read further that the Messiah was going to release the poor and from their bondage of poverty, that the Messiah was going to bring sight to the blind, and he was going to help people who were fear that they were oppressed to no longer be in fear. And you can imagine everybody's like, oh, beautiful. This sounds great. We want the Messiah to do this. And then only Jesus can do what comes next. He said, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, that means for anybody listening to that, that Jesus was claiming that he was the Messiah. He was the one who they had been waiting for and who was going to do those things, proclaim the good news, free the oppressed, help the blind get sight. And the people were confused. Now, at first they were confused because this was Jesus that they knew. He was the son of Joseph and Mary. He was the son of a carpenter. And nobody expected anybody from Nazareth to do anything great, let alone make that kind of a claim that he was the Messiah. And he said to them, I am sure that you are confused by this, but don't start quoting things to me. He goes on to say, don't say, doctor, heal yourself, which is an expression that kind of parallels ours. You got to lift yourself up by the bootstraps, right? That these people should be able to do these things on their own. But then Jesus goes in to be very specific about how he knows that he is sent to do these things. But he doesn't do it in a way that they liked it. And this is where he goes from the general to the specific, and it gets difficult for people. And he reminds them that God did it in a way that they didn't totally expect to happen. In particular, that God didn't just help the people of Israel, but God helped some people outside of their special group. He reminded them of the time when God used Elijah to bring food to a widow. But the problem for them was that the widow wasn't a Jew. She was from the place of Sidon, which is a nearby area and a group of people that the Jews didn't like. He also reminded them that there was a bunch of people throughout the times that had leprosy, which was like a skin disease that was very damaging and very contagious. And there were many people who did not get healed, but one other person that did get healed was a guy named Naaman, who was from Syria. Again, a place nearby and a group of people they didn't like. Now, what Jesus was pointing out is that as he was claiming in this moment to be God's messenger, God's Messiah, he was saying, "Dear friends, I have come not to just heal the people that you like, but to heal all people, regardless of who they are or where they're from." And believe it or not, as he was getting more specific about the fact that God's healing and God's plan was here for everybody, they didn't like it. They then tried to actually stone him, it seems like. They got angry, they forced him out, and they were going to throw him off a cliff, it says. And because it's Jesus, and because this is a story that gives us a sense of how powerful and how meaningful he really was, it says that he was able to pass through the crowd, and then he went on his way. Now, that last part is kind of interesting. I want you to know that that's part of the story. But let's take this whole thing in together and make sure we understand that this is an example for us of how Jesus was extending radical hospitality, in his case, rooted in God's sense of his mission for himself. But we want to see it as a way that helps us understand what God wants us to do. When we hear about this, let's remember that Jesus came to help the poor, to help people who needed healing, and really came for all people. And this means that we need to be willing to help these people as well. We need to be able to help people that are not from where we're from. We need to be willing to help people that don't look like us, that don't sound like us, that don't talk like us, that don't live like us, or aren't educated like us. Because that's who Jesus was sent to help. And if Jesus was sent to help them, then we are too. Now, what that means for us is if you're a follower of Jesus and you are finding yourself confronted with the challenges or the conversation or the sensationalism around these areas of immigration, asylum seekers, and refugees, we are called to help these people. There's no question about it. If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to do something to be helping them. Now, if you're a part of our church or contributing to helping us do our work, then I want to tell you right away that you are doing something. We partner with great organizations that do work to help refugees, asylum seekers, and to help people who are struggling with the kinds of issues around immigration. Now, what I want to also encourage us to think about here is that when we think about how do we help these people, and then when we actually do that, we are focusing on people who are really here in our area of Chicago, in our area of Chicagoland. We do some things that help people in the international moments that are around the world, but most of our focus is for real people who are really here, who are really in need of help. They're in a variety of circumstances, but we're helping them where they are, which means that we are helping people that are from all over the world that are coming to us and are in need of help. And when you do that, and when I do that, and when we do that, we fulfill that radical hospitality and that radical welcome rooted in Christ in a way that is wonderful and amazing. And we need to keep doing this. Now, when I say that in the general sense, we get a lot of agreement. We go, yes, we should do that. Then when we get more specific, sometimes we lose track of what we're talking about because we get distracted. And when we get distracted, we lose focus on what we can really do for the people who are already here. As we think about what that means for us, let's be honest, that there is going to be a lot of clickbait out there that's going to get distracting for us. And what I want to encourage us to do is to avoid the clickbait so we don't ruin our relationships. We want to really focus on the people who are already here and help them and focus on that. When we focus on the things that are on the periphery, when we focus on the conversation that is at the national discourse level that is caught up in partisan politics, we miss our opportunity to really focus on helping those in need who are already present amongst us. And when we keep our focus on the people who are already here, we help people like Jesus wants us to help them. And we help them experience the freedom that God wants for them, the healing God wants for them, and the safety that we should want for them as well. Now, this is both specific and in the general sense where we want to go, but I want to offer up an example and a reminder of someone who embodied this in some very amazing ways through all of us. And that is the former president, now deceased, President Jimmy Carter. As we all know, President Carter was a humanitarian that did amazing work for people across the world. He is now being celebrated as one of the statesmen that gives an example of what a public servant should be like after they're finished serving at the highest of levels. But what I find so amazing about President Carter's work is that he focused his effort through the work of Habitat for Humanity. And what that means is that he was willing to serve the people that needed the most help. He focused on his own area where he lived in the Atlanta and the Georgia area, of course, but he did it in a way that changed the world and changed the world for people who were in need. And Jimmy Carter, his motivation for that was his faith in Jesus. As has been well chronicled, he was a man of deep faith. He was a Sunday school teacher, and anybody could go to his Sunday school classes, and believe it or not, they were very well attended. But the point being, it was his faith that motivated him to act as he did. He tried to live out the words of Jesus in really amazing ways, and he did it. And what he did was extend that radical hospitality that changes the world every time it's extended. So absolutely, we want to be inspired by Jimmy Carter's example. But let's remember that the reason he's inspiring is because he was following the call of Jesus to help people who need the most help. And that's what we want to do too. We want to be sure that we are helping people who are in need, focusing on the people who are right before us so we can make a difference in their lives, helping them experience the life that God wants for them. Well, would you please pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God who inspires us. We thank you for the example of Jesus, and we thank you for his boldness that you gave to him that allows us to hear what you want us to do, that his boldness can extend into us as well. And God, as we seek to help those who are really struggling in the world today, God, help us to do our part to help the people who are in refugee status or asylum seekers and are struggling with immigration. God, these are some of the most vulnerable people in the world, and we want to do our part to help those who are here, those who are really in our lives. God, help us to be inspired, to focus on the fact that you want us to help them. Help us to focus on the ways in which we can make an impact in actual individual people's lives. God, and you help us to be focused on this so we can extend your radical hospitality to the people who need it the most. We pray this in your name. Amen.